Hello, everybody. My name is Stephanie. I have a new life in Christ, and I'm recovering from anger, pride, and fear of man. And I just want to let you know that I am a crier, so they did give me a box of Kleenex. So please pray with me. Father God, I pray you would help me tell your story of love and grace and loving discipline in my life that finally brought me to a place where I learned that you alone can satisfy. I pray you would calm my nerves and allow me to speak clearly, and that those hearing my story would understand that intimacy with the Lord is the greatest gift that they could ever have. Amen. I was raised in a moral, loving, nurturing, and religious home with an older brother and lots of laughter. Both my parents were very present in the day-to-day life. They loved me so well and made sure daily that I knew that they loved and adored me. My parents recently celebrated their 50th anniversary and are an example to so many of a God-honoring marriage, the way they love, respect, and serve one another. As a family, we never miss Sunday Mass, even if traveling. We prayed before every meal, bedtime, and many other times, depending on the need. I attended the school connected to our church and went to Mass Mondays, Wednesdays, and First Fridays. Eventually, I stopped listening in church. Jesus was talked about, but it wasn't until I started going to a Bible church regularly after college that I realized that there's nothing that we can do to earn God's favor or gain access to heaven apart from his grace. I realized that I knew Jesus died to take my sins away, but thought he did that for so many other people, so how was I any different or significant? His love for me didn't seem personal, and that was because I didn't know enough about him. You see, it's difficult to love someone or something that you don't know closely. It took me years to understand the depth of his love for me. I didn't have an active and abiding relationship with him. I would pray and hope for direction and blessings, but didn't know that I needed to read his word to hear his response and for him to transform my heart. For many years, I would take my struggles to people first and hopefully would remember to pray about it. God's word was not my guide. I came from such a loving home, but still was searching for something to fill what seemed to be a missing piece. It wasn't until I reached junior high that I felt like anything was really missing from my life. But junior high was tough. Who isn't junior high tough for? Letting others define my worth started in junior high when my core group of friends decided they no longer wanted to be my friends. So I learned to reach out to others, find new friendships at school, and learn to fear man. To fear that even though that person is my friend today and we shared a lot of life with each other, they may decide tomorrow that they don't want to be my friend. I learned to camouflage myself to be what I thought people wanted me to be. Although I loved that I could fit in with different crowds, I didn't realize until much later it was because I lacked an identity in Christ. I didn't know who I was in God's eyes, and I let the friends I dated, the guys I dated and friends, determine my worth. I went to church and had tons of love at home, but I was missing what no parents, friends, boyfriend, or person could give. I was missing an abiding relationship with the Lord, though I didn't know it at the time. During college, I felt burnt out on church and stopped going and pursued things of the world, like sorority life, drinking with friends at bars, and having inappropriate relationships with guys to gain significance, attention, and life. I was conflicted. Part of me wanted to shake the good girl image, but the other part wanted to stay that good girl and honor my future husband. My identity still was not in Christ, and I wrestled with who I was and who I would be. After graduation, I moved home with my parents and started attending the same Bible church that I had gone to occasionally as a child with my neighbor. Yet now I was going regularly. I considered myself a believer from a very young age, yet I asked Jesus into my heart every Sunday just to be sure I was still saved, since I had messed up that week. I joined a Bible study and met friends who were pursuing the Lord and began reading the Bible and was growing in my faith. However, I was distracted by my pursuit of a husband, still going to bars and chasing after material things. I had one foot in the world and one foot in the church, and I wasn't getting the best of either world. I questioned if I deserved a godly husband. I did not fully trust the Lord, his timing, and thought he needed my help, so I was going to help him. Regrettably, I didn't share those thoughts with other believers because I know they would have pointed me to truth. I thought if I could just find a husband, that my life would be so much easier. But the Bible says, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. Jeremiah 17:5-8. A few years later, I met someone and we got married. The party lifestyle of our dating relationship continued into marriage. We argued about church, but I didn't want to force it, so I would go occasionally on my own. I was disappointed and angry inside. This wasn't what I wanted for my marriage or for my spiritual life. Despite that disconnect between us, I was not working on my relationship with the Lord. It was much easier to be disappointed in what my husband was not doing than taking responsibility for my relationship with the Lord. After a couple years of trying to get pregnant and one miscarriage, we eventually had a son. We were both so in love with him, however, our marriage was struggling. I was so tired and busy that I was in survival mode and thought that this was just a busy season for us and we would grow close again. If this is you right now, let me encourage you that if you aren't pouring into your marriage daily, it will suffer or even end. Get help now. Don't wait. Work on your relationship with the Lord. Find ways to work on your marriage. Serve your spouse daily, even when you think they don't deserve it. The Son of Man did not come to serve. The Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many. Matthew 20:28. While our marriage was suffering, I committed to going to church by myself. Quickly, I joined a community group and started reading the Bible daily. I was learning what it meant to have a walk with the Lord, to have a relationship with him by reading his word through prayer, worship, reflecting on who he is and what he's telling you through scripture, and also how to apply it and live it out. More and more, I would replace watching a TV show with reading the Bible. My community group would meet regularly and encourage one another and pray together. Unfortunately, our marriage did fall apart. I fought for our marriage. I never thought or wanted divorce to be a part of my story, and divorce is not what God wants either. I cried out to God to heal my marriage. A few weeks later, I learned that I was pregnant with our second child. I cried out even harder that God would bring healing. Ultimately, my husband left the marriage to be involved with another woman. It was devastating and embarrassing. My struggle with fearing man was at its peak. What would others think of me? How would I raise my children to love and honor the Lord? Could I do that on my own? Is one parent just as good as two? Would I be single forever? Is there purpose in my tears? I knew that the Bible says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose, Romans 8:28. And that in Psalm 56:8, it says, you keep track of all my sorrows. You've collected all my tears in your bottle. You've recorded each one in your book, Psalm 56:8. The first verse I memorized was, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. That's John 15:5. Not only did I memorize it, I believed it. We moved in with my parents. My son was 2 then, and I would soon have a newborn. My daughter was 3 months when the divorce was final after 5 years of marriage. It was around this time that I started understanding the depth of God's love for me, understanding my deep love for my son, and knowing that the Lord loves me infinitely more than I could ever fathom started to sink in. Divorce was the deepest cut I had ever experienced, and I needed the Lord to heal me. Even though divorce is not God's design or desire for marriage, he used divorce to break me so I would realize the gift of dependence on him. He put the desire in my heart to know him and trust him instead of man. Man will disappoint us, but the Lord is righteous and just in all his ways. I used my maternity leave to grow as close to the Lord as possible, to fill my mind with truth and not things of the world. I read the Bible, listened to podcasts from sermons and talks that gave biblical instruction on how to love, shepherd, and discipline children. I met with a mentor regularly and was committed to give every detail of my life to the Lord and to raise my children up to honor the Lord and teach them as much as possible about God's love for them. I also served in children's ministry, and I learned right along with them, filling in gaps of my understanding of God. It was right on my level. After learning that my ex-husband married the other woman, I struggled with bitterness, unforgiveness, and insecurity. Even though I was spending dedicated and consistent time in the Word, I needed more tools to break free from those lies and comparison that were circulating in my mind. I was a prisoner to my thoughts. I could not control them or take them captive. I tried memorizing scripture when I felt captive, but I still couldn't break free. One of my closest friends and member of my community group decided she was going to attend Regeneration, so I decided I would go and support her the first night. As I sat and listened to the testimony, I began praying, asking God if I should attend. I was weighing if I really wanted to give up my Tuesday nights to attend. The Lord let me know this was my time. The bitterness that I felt would only grow if I didn't deal with it and allow the Lord to work on my heart. I knew it would affect and could even spread to the people that I loved the most. I feared the person I would become without healing in this area. The Lord opened my heart to Regeneration, and I was given a unique opportunity to co-lead a group of 15 awesome ladies and go through the curriculum at the same time. It was daunting to take on this role, but I felt like God was calling me to do it. I knew I wasn't equipped for this, but I did know that God equips the called. My co-leading a group wasn't about me, and if I could be the best leader ever, I knew that I couldn't be. It was about honoring God and being obedient. Without a doubt, I have learned and grown from each woman in our group and love seeing how the Lord is changing and refining each one before my eyes. God is so good and faithful. During Region, there were some pivotal steps for me, including step 3, trust. Over time, I began to worry and try to control the details of my life, choosing not to entrust them to God on a daily basis. But without Christ, I cannot have full recovery. I was reminded not only to trust God for my eternity, but to trust him with the details and circumstances of my life. I was also reminded of my purpose here. I am called to glorify him and to love him and others. While in the past I relied on my feelings or what other people suggested that I do, now I have disciplined myself to rely on the Lord. Thankfully, I don't have to do this alone. God never intended us to be alone. God blessed me with godly friendships, a mentor who's here tonight, community group, they're right here in the front row, and I lost my place. And a godly husband who points me to the Lord. In his great mercy, God gave me the gift of an amazing husband who is chasing after the Lord. He supports me, loves me unconditionally, lets me cry on his shoulder, makes me laugh, refines me, and points me to Christ daily. He has been a big part. Of my recovery. But please hear that while my husband is an amazing gift and blessing, And while he provides me with so much love, he can never replace what Jesus can. He can't heal my hurts or release me from being captive to my thoughts. In a deep, abiding relationship with the giver is ultimate. In their hearts, humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps, Proverbs 16:9. When I started in regeneration, I would introduce my struggles as unforgiveness and bitterness. Step 8, forgive, was critical to me. Forgiveness is not giving up your demand for justice. It is a decision to give your claim for justice to God through Christ. The decision to forgive is between you and God alone. I can forgive even if the offender has not asked for forgiveness or changed their behavior. Christ suffered for all sin. I learned that although I made the choice to forgive, negative thoughts about that person may still creep in. Forgiveness is a daily choice, and sometimes it's a choice that happens multiple times a day. My mentor sent me this great daily reminder: see to it that no one falls short of the grace of God, and that no bitter root grows up to cause you trouble and defile many. Hebrews 12:5. I no longer introduce myself with unforgiveness. The Lord is so good, and he has done a great work in that area of my life. Although step 4 inventory felt like it would never end, in hindsight, I'm so thankful that the Lord used that process to heal me of so many hurts. This step was where I discovered my sin patterns. My significance was built on the opinions of others. I was seeking relationships or things of the world and not something eternal. Every time, they would fall short of our eternal Father. In my relationships, I would often make everyone, including myself, think that I was all right with the situation instead of being completely honest about my feelings. I did a lot of peace faking. I loved learning that not only did the Lord come to bring us eternal life, but he also came to give us new life. He came to heal us and make us into new creations. How awesome is that? My sins were buried with Christ, and he has made me new. I am redeemed. I don't have to carry the shame and guilt from my past that I carried for years. My new identity directs me to the Creator for my needs instead of looking to his creations for answers. That brings me to my favorite step of them all, repentance. Repentance is turning away from our sins and turning to God. A repentance plan is to implement a change of heart and mind and to surrender our lives completely to the Lord. We find meaningful verses and practical steps like reaching out to other believers to confess and to lead us back to Christ when tempted to turn to old patterns. Prior to Regen, I didn't realize that I was trying to put together my own repentance plans. I would find verses or sayings that I was going to repeat, but I lacked the practical steps and tips, structure, and tools that Regen provides. The verse that pulls me out of dwelling on negative things and points me to my Savior is, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." That's Philippians 4:6-7. Persevere, trust in the process, and most importantly, on the work the Lord is doing in you. Be confident in this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:6. We are on step 12 now, and in a few weeks we'll be finished with the steps, but that's when it all really begins. When all of you finish regeneration, what will you turn to when you're squeezed, when you feel left out, when you feel down, overwhelmed, or you just struggle? Will you turn to Christ so he can be made strong in your weakness? Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, insults, and hardships, and persecutions and difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. 2 Corinthians 12:9-11. I no longer have to pretend to be perfect. I don't think I was fooling anyone. Or to be who I think others want me to be. Instead, I can depend on Christ, confess in my weaknesses, and ask the Lord to do what I cannot. I now understand what my purpose is, and I know who I am in Him. I am loved, accepted, chosen, forgiveness, blameless, righteous, a co-worker, a temple, someone with direct access, set apart for His good work. If this is your first night here, I pray that you will keep coming, that you will focus on what you will gain by coming to Regeneration, and that you will understand tonight that having a deep, abiding relationship with the Lord is the greatest gift from the Almighty Giver that you could ever receive. Thank you for listening.